महात्मानास्तुमं भारता दैवीं प्रकृतिम् आश्रिताः भजन्त्यनन्यमनसौ ज्ञात्वा भूतादिम् अव्ययम्। O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the description of a Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? This is explained in the 7th chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of a great soul or Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas or pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or a human being. They meditate upon Krishna in Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. With great pleasure, I greet all of our honored and special guests to this very auspicious satsang program organized by the devotee community here in Siam. The definition that is given here in Bhagavad Gita of Mahatma or great soul is one who has taken shelter of Krishna. Thus, one comes under the protection of Krishna's divine nature. There are three principal natures which exist within the creation of the Lord. There is the spiritual nature, the material nature, and the marginal nature. These three energies should be understood very carefully for proper promotion to the states of elevated consciousness. The spiritual energy of the Lord is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It is the energy in which the entire spiritual realm is controlled by. The spiritual energy of the Lord is pure consciousness, uncovered by any alterations of the original nature of reality. In the spiritual world, everything is fully conscious. Krishna is in the center of all existence, and every living being, in fact, everything is conscious. The water, the trees, the houses, everything is pure spiritual consciousness. Everything is living beings appearing in different forms for the loving service of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, in the spiritual energy, there is only one activity which manifests itself in innumerable varieties, and that is unmotivated, uninterrupted service for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The material energy is that energy which facilitates the spirit soul who wants to be within the realm of forgetfulness of God. Material energy means to separate our consciousness from the recollection that everything is the property of God, that everything is for the enjoyment of God. Material energy is that deluding power that causes us to forget our own blissful nature and identify ourselves with gross matter, and thinking that we are not only this body, but that the gross objects of dead matter within this world are the source of enjoyment. This is simply ignorance. Now, the marginal energy is the spirit soul, the part and parcel of Krishna that is giving life within the heart of every living being within material creation. This spirit soul has the choice, due to free will that is being given by the Lord Himself, to either take shelter of the spiritual energy or the material energy, to either live a life of devotion for the pleasure of God, or to live a life of exploitation of God's property for our own personal or extended selfish interests. Now, we are all obviously under the control of the material, inferior energy. The specific purpose of the human form of life is to rechannel our consciousness in such a way that we come under the control of the spiritual energy, because that is our true nature. Spiritual energy means light. Material energy means darkness. Spiritual energy means knowledge, truth. Material energy means ignorance and illusion. What is material? What is spiritual? It is all based on the understanding of whether or not we can actually understand and realize whether something is meant for Krishna's service or forgetfulness of Krishna. Anything and everything within the entire creation, if it is used for Krishna's service in a spirit of devotion, that is transformed into spiritual energy. Anything that is used apart from Krishna's service becomes subjected to the control of material energy. Material energy, there is birth, old age, disease, and death. Spiritual energy, there is eternal, blissful life. So that is the predicament that we are all in. We have chosen to take shelter of this spirit of the material energy, and therefore we are suffering endlessly. And the sources of enjoyment are only Maya's way of just going, attracting us deeper and deeper and deeper into the illusion by which we have to suffer. If you want to capture an animal, the expert way of capturing an animal is to give it something it enjoys and give it more and more and more so it goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the trap. Just like if you want to catch a rat, if you want to kill it, that's one thing, but if you want to catch it, because you can't kill the soul. So Maya, she catches us just like a bunch of rats. That's why it's called a rat race. If you want to catch rats, you have to get some very nice food that they like. In the West, they use cheese. Now, cheese is a very pious and a very expensive food. But rats like cheese. It's very opulent to them. They can't get it just by their own efforts. So when they get this cheese, you can imagine when these rats, they're just eating all kinds of decomposed garbage and they get some nice fresh cheese. Very, very opulent, tasteful feast. So they're thinking, oh, how nice. This is very nice. And they just eat more and more and more. But as they're eating more, they're going further and further and further and further into the trap. And at a certain point, the trap goes, whoop, and they're trapped helplessly. And they suffer. So Maya, she just keeps giving us more and more and more pleasure. And through these pleasures, we go deeper and deeper and deeper into her trap. And then when the pains come, we can't get out. We're suffering. That's material nature. There's only one way to get out of material nature. And that is to remember Krishna. To attract Krishna's mercy. By attracting Krishna's mercy, Krishna personally puts us under the control of his own personal spiritual energy. And one who has taken shelter of Krishna in this way is Mahatma. Mahatma doesn't mean, according to the Shastra, one who has mystic potencies, who can perform various miracles within this material reference. Mahatma doesn't mean one who endures great austerities such as fasting or neglecting the bodily functions. Mahatma doesn't mean one who is very expert in philanthropic or political welfare work. But actual Mahatma is one who is totally surrendered to the will of God with humility and devotion, because such a person is actually under the control of Krishna's personal divine nature. And how to become Mahatma? It is explained here in this beautiful purport. The first step is to associate with Mahatmas. We become what we associate with. By associating with devotees who are sincerely aspiring to surrender to the Lord, and those who have genuinely surrendered to the will of the Lord, by their example, by their words and inspiration, we also naturally develop the enthusiasm to surrender to the will of the Lord. In this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord has appeared as his Yugavatar, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has very clearly explained to us what is his will, what is his desire. His desire is that we all purify our hearts, attract the Lord's mercy through the only process by which we can tangibly achieve this most auspicious goal. And that is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. There's no other way except the sincere chanting of the holy names. The name of the Lord is so powerful. Why? Because the Lord, by his mercy, personally manifests himself within his name. All the demoniac tendencies within our heart are killed by the holy name, just like, identically, in fact, as the Lord when he appeared and killed so many demoniac elements within this world. When Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Shishupal, when these demons appeared on earth, they were so powerful that neither the sages, nor the kings, nor the demigods, no one could resist their powers. In the same way, these exploitative tendencies of Maya that are the agents of Maya or illusion are within all of our hearts. And you can try by so many mechanical means, but you cannot overcome them. You cannot overcome lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, or illusion. It is simply not possible. You can try. You can, for some time, tolerate their tendencies. However, that spirit is still within us, like demons. Only the Lord himself can rescue us from our own inner materialistic attachments. So when we chant the holy name, we are literally inviting the Supreme Lord into our hearts to clear away all of these anartas, to liberate us from all of these unwanted influences that drive us again and again to materialistic activities. When Lord Chaitanya taught the Yuga Dharma of the chanting of the holy names, he did it on the basis of the most important of the revealed scriptures. His appearance was the fulfillment of what the great Vedic scriptures written by Srila Vedavyas were teaching and prophesizing since the dawn of the age of Kali. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the concept that there's no other way except the chanting of the holy names, and he converted that concept into a reality in which each and every one of us could live within. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself personally demonstrated, along with his associates, the joyous culture of the Harinam Sankirtan movement. People love to dance. People love to sing. People love to taste nice foodstuffs. People love to be in the association or the company of kind, generous people who want to help them and serve them. People love art. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he personally demonstrated that when we Krishnize all these natural forms of happiness, literature, poetry, what else do people like? Excitement, adventure, vacations, holidays. Lord Chaitanya taught us how to put Krishna in the center of all of these. You like to dance? Dance in kirtan. You like to sing? Chant the holy names. You like to taste nice food? Here is Mahaprasad. You like nice, kind, loving association? Here is Vaishnav Sangam. Selfless people who will give their lives to help you in every way to be happy in Krishna consciousness. You like literature? Here is the great Vedic literatures. Within that literature, there is everything you could possibly want for your enjoyment. There's comedy. People are attracted to comedy. I remember the first time I was sitting at New Vrindavan. It was in the Prasad. I'll never forget. I remember it. I'm reliving it. I was sitting in the Prasadam room. The prasadam room is just a little tiny room with a floor that was all broken up, and it was late at night, and we were reading Krishna book, and we were reading the story of Balaram's pastimes with Vivida Gorilla. And as the person was reading, we never laughed so hard in our life. Everyone was rolling on the floor, laughing. Every line of it was just bringing deeper humors of laughter. And after we were thinking that no material comedian or no mundane cinema is so humorous as this. If you want to know what it is, you have to buy Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So within the Leela of the Lord, there is the most transcendentally pleasing comedy. There's romance. People go to the movies and spend so much money to see some romance. In the holy scriptures, in Mahabharata, what more beautiful romance is there than Ramayana? You know, people, Romeo and Juliet, they both died, and you go out, you say, Sita and Ram, they're separated, and how Sita's crying for Ram. She says, I will commit suicide if Ram doesn't come. And Hanuman comes and says, no, she was about to hang herself with her own braid of hair. And just at the last moment in Sri Lanka in the Ashoka Grove, Hanuman comes and says, no, Sita, don't end your life. Ram's just on his way. And she thought he was an agent, a spy of Ravana. Very exciting. And meanwhile, Lord Ram was weeping and crying and searching throughout the universe. Where is Sita? Where is Sita? Such romance. And then we have fighting. People like violence. Oh, yes. The hoardings in Bombay, that's so much violence. Every hoarding practically, almost everyone has blood all over them. We see like this. But you read, Hare Krishna, you read Krishna's battle with Salva, with Jarasandha. You read of Ram's battle with Ravana, Mahabharata. No movie could create such special effects. The son of Bhima, Ghatotkacha, what kind of a warrior he was. He was just massacring tens and thousands of people, fighting, fighting, fighting. He was going to destroy the entire Kuru army. Nothing could stop him. He was the son of Bhima. And not only that, but he was born of Hidimbi. Do you know Hidimbi? She was a Rakshasi. So can you imagine a powerful Rakshasi and Bhimasena, the son of such a combination? What kind of an incredible warrior he was? So they couldn't stop him. So ultimately, the particular arrow or astra that Karna was given that was guaranteed to kill Arjuna, he had to use that for Ghatotkacha. Otherwise, the whole army would have been massacred. So Karna sent it. And when he got that in him, he knew he was going to die due to his Hidimbi side, his maternal side of ancestry. He had these powers. He just expanded himself like the sky. And then he fell down dead. And when he died, he killed millions of soldiers. He just crushed them to death. Now that's a battle scene. And when Krishna was fighting, sometimes we read, he would fight, there would be rivers of blood. So if you like violence, this is where you'll find the best. And some people like, what else? What other sentiments are there? Huh? Horror. Many people will go to the movies, they want to see some monster, but have you ever heard of anyone like Kumbhakarna? Even the greatest producers and directors of Hollywood could never make a Kumbhakarna. They can make maybe some dinosaurs with big teeth going, ar, 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 ar. Kumbhakarna? He was monster amongst monsters. But he wasn't fictional. We're talking about history. We're talking of monsters that were not just created in someone's mind, but people who walked the earth beyond anyone's imaginations. So, in this way, literally everything a person is looking for enjoyment in, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us in Krishna consciousness. People like dramas. People like poetry. Devotees perform wonderful, wonderful dramas, plays, with real, genuine emotion, not just something that they're faking for some money. Srila Prabhupada said, paid dramas will not affect your heart with any purification. But when drama is done by sincere devotees, with genuine emotion, that will actually pierce your heart and cleanse your mind. There are so many beautiful poems by Bhaktivinoda, Narottam Das Thakur. In fact, practically all the Vedic literatures are written in poetry. People like to go on holidays. So we go to the Ugrastamba.
you like mountain climbing, Ugrastamba, go. You will be very happy. You'll risk your life, and all your desires to risk your life climbing mountains will be very much satisfied. You'd like to go to see so many places and travel far distant places. You go to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Naimisharanya, Ayodhya, Prayag, Chitrakoot. Everything you want is in Krishna consciousness, but there's a difference. That by dovetailing our propensities for these natural tendencies, we purify our hearts, we purify our mind. We develop natural love for Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to practically live and apply the scriptures in every way. And most of all, he has taught us that in the heart, in the center of every cultural aspect of a spiritual society must be the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Because the chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the Lord's incarnation in the age of Kali, in which he will specifically awaken our original love of God. Through the congregational chanting of the holy name, through the personal chanting of the holy name, we invite Krishna to put us under the umbrella of his internal spiritual potency, to protect us. There is no other way. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the merciful expression of God's love to each and every one of us. This Krishna consciousness movement is the practical way by which we could all live the scriptures. Theory can point in a direction, but it cannot give you experience. It is practice on the basis of that theory that gives you direct realization. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally taught us what is the essence of the scriptures, how to practically apply it to our life, and live joyfully in the process. In Krishna consciousness, even in the face of great hardships, if we are a nice association and we're keeping our sadhana nice, life is joyful. I remember in the early 70s, some devotees, they went to this town which was very much, how to explain it in India. It was in the southern part of America, very sectarian, very prejudiced, very ignorant people. And when devotees came to spread some other religion, the people hated this. They considered it a great threat to their conceptions of reality. So the police came and arrested all the devotees and put them all in prison. For several weeks they were in prison. It was a dirty, filthy prison. It's not that everything in America is nice. It was a terrible, there were rats, there were cockroaches, there were spiders, there was stool all over the place, there was no proper sanitation. It was a dirty, filthy prison, and practically no light, practically no air, all kinds of criminals in the same cell. It was just one big cell. Just put them all in there. No proper food. And yet these devotees, for several weeks, all they did is have a festival. They just had Hare Krishna festivals the whole time. First they started chanting. And they were chanting so loud that the guards of the prison, they just were so disturbed that these people were enjoying so much, because you're supposed to suffer in prison. You're not supposed to enjoy. So he told them, no, you can't chant loud, otherwise we'll beat you. So what they were doing is they were having whispering kirtans. And they were dancing in ecstasy, dancing, dancing, going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And then they decided to celebrate Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Govardhan Puja, all these celebrations. They just decided to have them in the prison. Whether it was the day or not, it didn't really matter. So they would make a list of the feast, like 100 preparations. Now what did they have to cook with? They didn't have a stove, they didn't have any bhoga, they didn't have anything. But each person took about 10 preparations. And they all just started meditating. And they all had their own little place, and they were just like cutting the vegetables like this. And the guards were looking in like, what are these people doing? They're going like this. They're rolling chapatis like this. They're cooking puris and going like this, adding spices, they're measuring. And the other prisoners, they were just looking like, what are you doing? These gangsters were in the prison with them. They said, what are you doing? He said, here, you can help me roll chapatis. Go like this. These prisoners saw that we're miserable, we're lonely, and these people are in such bliss. Now I should just do it. He started rolling chapatis. He's saying, you roll them, then give them to me, and I'll cook them. So these people, these big dacoits are... And the devotee said, very, very nice. Roll them flatter. So they cooked like 108 course feast. And then they made up the plates. There was a pujari. And they were really very serious. Like, here's the sabji. Where's the tomato chutney? Here, put this. It's almost time for the offering. Then they just imagined deities and they offered them. Then they had this kirtan. They were dancing for hours. Then they had a lecture. Then they sat down to eat the feast. They were just like eating the feast, telling each other, this rice is very, very nice. This halava, you made this halava very nice, Prabhu. And actually, they were so happy. Literally, they were so happy that the guards just could not make them... The guards ended up becoming blissful. Just, we have never seen anything like this. And the other prisoners were blissful. So finally, when it came to the time where they went to court, the people said, you know, we might as well just let them go, because they're enjoying so much here. And to this day, 27, 28 years later, they remember the joyful experience they had for those several weeks in prison. In a dirty, filthy prison. Because they were with devotees and they were Krishna conscious. In fact, they were happier then than they are now, because they're not so Krishna conscious, some of those people.
Hare Krishna.
Recently I met somebody who was saying that when I was in that prison, I was so blissful because I was Krishna conscious. Now I'm not chanting enough. I'm not doing so much service. I was more happy then than I am now. I'm living in a house. I have car. I have wife. I have children. I have all these things. I was happier in that prison because I was chanting the holy name sincerely. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the gift of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said that Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. And Krishna tells Narada that wherever my holy name is chanted by sincere devotees who come together for that purpose, I'm always there. I won't go anywhere else. That means wherever the devotees are sincerely coming together to serve one another, to chant the names and the glories of the Lord, Krishna manifests the spirit of Vrindavan. That place is Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada started a beautiful center, Sri Krishna Balaram Mandir, in Vrindavan. But his idea was people should come to Vrindavan to cultivate within their hearts the spirit of Vrindavan, where everyone is simply thinking of Krishna, where every blade of grass, every tree, everything and everyone is simply conscious of Sri Radha and Krishna, to glorify, to serve. And then to take that Vrindavan spirit wherever we go. And how do we manifest Vrindavan? Even in this little hall in Sion, Bombay? By having this enthusiasm to hear the glories of the Lord. And most of all, to very, very attentively, sincerely, desperately chant Hari Naam. Actually, according to Shastra, this whole world is a prison house. How to be happy in this prison house? To chant Hare Krishna. Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani has so mercifully appeared within her blessed name, Hare, to bestow her most auspicious blessings by giving us pure bhakti. And Krishna has appeared in his name to attract the totality of our consciousness to his loving service. Therefore, Prabhupada's greatest contribution was he has taught us how to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Even in this prison house of material existence, even while we are under the shackles of the laws of time and nature, if we take shelter of the holy name, in the association of devotees, we can be blissful, free. Why? Because we come under the direct spiritual potency of the Lord's causeless mercy. So at this time we will have kirtan. Let us very enthusiastically aspire to enthuse one another by loudly chanting and jubilantly dancing. Radha Gopinath Prabhu, please come forward and teach them the process of dancing. Radha Gopinath Prabhu is the Guru Maharaj of Sayan. After the feast, they were distributing the prasad. They had food for life. They were calling the guards and saying, "Guards, here, please, honor this prasad." And the guards were like, "Huh?" They had prasad distribution, everything. And actually, it wasn't just an imitation. Because where there's bhakti, there's reality. Krishna's factually accepting it all. And he was giving his remnants. And they were getting purified by taking those remnants. As real, or if not more real, than when we observe it in its physical forms.